this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Manchester United back in action. Stop, start, stuff for the passing of the Queen. But United are finally back with a big 3 points in the Europa League against Sheriff FC, Sheriff Tiraspol. On the road, sir. That pitch looked pretty not so nice. But either way, United got a big 3 points, clean sheet. Sancho with a great goal. Ronaldo off to the races with a penalty. And a tidy little performance against a dangerous-looking side that actually could have caused, you know, a less in-form, in-tune United side some trouble today, without a doubt. So we got a big break now until we have the City match in a couple weeks, 2 weeks plus. We got some background noise for this guy. He's on holiday, but American Red Devils, we never sleep. Pod never sleeps. How you doing? How we feeling?
Doing great. Woke up at 6:30 a.m. here in Maui to catch the FC Sheriff match out in Moldova. Look, Sheriff came out hot. We were having trouble handling them, but you know, a home team's going to come out with some extra piss and vinegar to start. We were able to handle it, and then the lads grew into the game. Great goal by Sancho, and like Delo getting a penalty, Ronaldo finishing it off. I mean, like a textbook away win in Europa League. Man, Europa League. You think these teams are going to be easy, but they're scrappy, and the travel's hard, and the theme isn't what you want to hear, and just everything going against you in the wind. But a great result, bounce back, and we're trying to get to that knockout stage because we're not going to get fourth in the group, and if you get third, you're going to Conference League. So onwards and upwards.
I want to win the group. It really should be between, you know, ourselves and Sociedad at the end of the day. But like you said, this could have been a tricky fixture for, you know, a less informed United side, maybe under our previous manager or managers. They could have given us a problem. Definitely showed it at some points, but I thought United looked good. Got to rotate the squad a little bit in terms of bringing the, you know, probably de facto first team players into the fold. Got to see Casemiro for a half, Scotty McSauce for a half. Got to play Malacia at it right. And then bring in Shaw actually for a little bit of some playing time as well. And just more of that Martinez, Varane, center back pairing, which has been so good. Eriksen looking absolutely just dialed in. Unbelievable how good of a player he's been. He continued that today. He had a nice assist. What else is notable, sir? United just keeps on ticking away. Also, Sancho looking good. Even Antony, I thought he showed some really good physicality today. Was boxing boys off the ball, which was good to see.
Uh-oh.
Sir, you know, I'm a Muppet. I got a lot of things wrong.
What is he worth now? 62?
Sir, no, I didn't say that. He's still at like 45, 50. But, dude, he's our player. I'm going to root for him all day long. I'm just going to call it like I see it. And today, you know, he didn't do too much, but, like, he was working hard. High work rate, and like I said, he was actually like muscling guys off the ball, which is good to see because you're going to need to bring that physicality to the Premier League week in, week out, as we obviously know, because Premier League ain't no joke, sir.
No, absolutely, and you had Erik ten Hag like chewing marbles on the touchline. I don't know what he's always
happy.
Moving his mouth. Yeah, like he's always moving his mouth like in a weird way. Like he's like got a bunch of marbles in his eye. And it's like I don't know if that's the right analogy, but something's going on there. It doesn't like no one's ever like looked at him and be like, "Hey, man, you look like a lunatic on the touchline." But the results are there, and it's one where you know Real Sociedad, they're a real team. FC Sheriff, they're really not. But going away and having that travel and having to turn up, especially with the fixture canceled. This was a big one for United, and Sancho looking sharp. So I think everything going the right direction, other than the injury, the muscle injury to Rashford, we got to worry about. And apologies for the background noise. I'm on vacation with the family. There's an extra bedroom I was going to do the pod in, but the Wi-Fi craps out there, and can't do it on the balcony because the ocean is too loud. I got my son playing with his trucks. So pod never sleeps. We're going to do the best we can to get through it. That's the life.
Pod never sleeps. So, you know, you don't get through the American Red Devils with taking weeks off, even though Manchester United are going to get...
Like a,
go ahead.
Nothing like a Europa League vacay pod, I will tell you.
Hey, here's the best part. You don't have any more pods to do between now and you getting back from Hawaii, sir. So enjoy it. Enjoy the fam. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the surf. And you know what? I wish we had football to talk about this weekend. I wish we were playing Leeds scum. What a rivalry that is. Obviously, we lamented enough about the postponement of the game and the repercussions for that. You know, they basically confirmed that obviously the game will not be moved until 2023, which if you look at the schedule between now
and
New Year's Eve, that's obvious, but go ahead.
I have more stuff to talk about regarding the fixture cancellation, which grind my gears. The Premier League has no respect for fans traveling internationally for these games
at all.
Like, and you and me dealt with it like firsthand with like a cup conflict schedule where like we literally book flights and hotels and then the game is moved like 3 weeks out. It's really a nightmare. And something about the way they deal with these fixtures, it's so unfair. It's like to international fans who are traveling, you know, it's just really a bummer where like all these fans are coming to this game, everything's booked. And then like a week out, it's totally scrapped. It's really unfortunate.
Sir, I went to see, it's happened to you, it's happened to me. You have a famous Spain story, but we're talking about English Premier League at the moment. I went to the 17-18 game where I went with my father-in-law to take him to see the Mighty Reds playing down in South London. They moved the game from Saturday to Monday. I had to move my flights around, right, extend my trip, which I didn't mind. But like you said, like if people don't have the same flexibility, obviously there's a cost you have to incur by changing flights, right? Ain't nobody giving that for free. So like, you know, they ain't thinking about fans. They aren't, especially not thinking about fans that are flying in. Because even if you're coming from Manchester to go to South London, you have to do it on a Monday night. That's a pain in the ass if you have a job, family, all that. So it's like, you know, that's been a constant. That's been a constant in our Manchester United fanhood is just that, like, England, you know, ain't got no respect for the match-going fans at all. They're like, well, we'll move it around.
Sorry, babe. Our three-day weekend turned into a six-day weekend. Yeah.
Apologies. It ain't a weekend no more. 6 days, it's a week.
Well, look, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. It's 2022, and we think the best way for you to support us is directly through Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes podcast every single month. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, and shirts, depending on the tier that you sign up for. It's a way for you to support us directly, and that way we don't have to have sponsors on the podcast. Please check it out. It goes a long way. And thank you to everyone who signed up. We're looking for our target is to get 100 Patreon subscribers. We're around 70, so we're getting close. So if you're on the fence, please check it out. Also, check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content. And also, check out our merch at AmericanRedDevils.store. We have a great shop. If Patreon's not your thing, pick up a shirt, pick up a scarf. Everything supports a small-time operation. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are 5-star reviews at the American Red Devils. Wherever you listen, it's a great way to support the pod. It helps us get found organically by other top Muppets like yourself. And more importantly, we're giving away free merch from now until the end of time to anyone that writes a 5-star review. This is how you have to do it. Like I said, write that 5-star review. Wherever you listen, send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I'll personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it straight to your door anywhere in the world. We mean that just for supporting the pod. Here's a great review from Carlos C. For fans, by fans, shout out to the American Red Devils. Each game week is never complete until I listen to the new episode. As a longtime fan of United, this is a great way to connect with other fans through the good and bad days. The American Red Devils are there to voice our feelings as fans. Keep up the awesome work. And as always, Glazers out. We appreciate it, Carlos. We appreciate all the fans writing reviews. We're almost at 500 on iTunes. Get us there. We're nearly there. And we just appreciate it, sir. You better enjoy that vacation, because I was just looking at Manchester United's schedule in October, and it's a doozy. I know we talked about it at length the last pod, but holy shit, we got a lot of games.
That's why I'm here.
Get it in,
that's
sir. Get
that's
it in.
I'm getting some R&R in before we got to, like, this is, like, the biggest pod month we ever had.
Ever.
It's going to be – what a year. And it's, like, we had – Last year was U.S. Men's National Team Ted Gerber, but then we're going to be going to World Cup. We'll be getting our buddy Mike on the pod, breaking that down. World Cup around the corner, squad implications for this international break. We'll be doing one during international break, sir. We don't take 2 weeks off here at this podcast. We'll be breaking down maybe the U.S. Men's National Team or just having a laugh. But regardless, let's focus on it. FC Sheriff 0, Manchester United 2 at the Zimbrew Stadium. Europa League group stage game week 2. Let's get in that lineup. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net. Dubravka, when is he going to start? Who knows? Malasia left back. Martinez, Varane, center back, Kering, Deloitte at right. Mick Sauce in the middle. Fernandez, Eriksen, midfield 2. Sancho on the left. Ronaldo at number 9. Love to see that. And Anthony, your boy, the 85 million pound man at right wing. How are you feeling about this 11 versus Sheriff?
You know, there's a lot of talk about this 11, considering how would it have been if we were playing Leeds on the weekend versus without. Obviously, we are not playing Leeds this weekend, so the expectation, for good reason, was to see as strong of an 11 as Erik ten Hag can put out. I think he did in many ways, you know, give or take a Casemiro from McTominay, but McTominay's been in form. So this 11 looked good to me. That back four picks itself, obviously with De Gea. That midfield three, they've been really good. You know, they've been excellent. They're excellent against Arsenal. They're excellent against Liverpool. And that front three, it's moved down around a little bit, obviously, with Rashford going down. But hey, CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's getting back into form. He's never a bad option to put as your number 9.
Not too shabby. Let's get into that first half.
So United came out a little bit scrappy, but, you know, I think we were playing small ball, trying to keep it safe and contained. We looked largely in control.
A little scrappy. It was like Sheriff came out with piss and vinegar. They looked like they could get... hit us on the quick break.
Looked to be. You know, like I said, I think a United side a year ago would have gotten maybe conceded on in this first 15, 20 minutes. Didn't even have, like, that well-defined of a chance. It was certainly scrappy, but I think this team looks a lot more calm on the ball, especially with Martinez and Varane playing at the back. And then first chance of note was in the 15th minute. Eriksen finds Ronaldo over the top, and CR7 is barged over. No penalty. Probably shouldn't have been a penalty, to be fair, but, you know, vintage CR7, like 27-year-old, blast this first time. That's a goal. But a nice ball from Eriksen. He was showing his worth all over the pitch.
Eriksen signing in the summer. I mean, just unbelievable player. He absolutely changes our entire team.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, that fee, he's been such a key contributor in this starting 11 and the way Erik ten Hag likes to play, especially without getting his number one target in Frankie de Jong. He looks like to be playing that role, sir. Another player who's been showing his best under the new manager. Hey, he didn't get a call-up from Gareth Southgate, but that might be a boost for Manchester United. Here was Sancho in the 17th minute.
This, Eriksen. There's the switch. Here's Sancho. 1-0. Very nicely taken by Jadon Sancho. Manchester United have just stepped up one or two gears over the last 5 minutes.
So the United fans in fine voice in Moldova taking a long trip out. But you know what? United away fans always travel in force. But what a great touch. Ball in from Eriksen. Kind of reminiscent of the Liverpool game. Goal for Sancho, you know, takes it down on the right foot, controls it really well, and finishes on his left. You know, they're a challenging team to score against, but it was a nice goal from Sancho, a player who's been in form, and hey, England's loss is our gain, as they say.
I mean, what a signing, and Eriksen. Obviously, Sancho coming good because of it, because you know what we have in this team now?
Mentality.
We got balance. We got the mentality, but we got the balance on the left and the right side of attack, right? I mean, we have the dual threat. You got Anthony, you got Deloitte on the right, you have Malasia, you got Sancho on the left. And oh yeah, by the way, Eriksen likes to play those 1-2s on the left-hand side. Looks absolutely mint. And this is how we're going to be able to unlock teams that want to sit in and defend. And an amazing goal from Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, because I think Sheriff kind of – almost felt like we were playing like a mid-level, low-level EPL side. Physical, right? Like, they're well-organized. Obviously, the dangers in the counterattack. And it just felt like they were willing to sit in. And this could not, you know, could be another match where we had a difficult time breaking them down. You talked about the danger.
Where'd you get the Sharif pronunciation from? Is that like you just made that up? Or is it not Sheriff? Or like,
I don't know, sir. I'm just a sheriff. It's in Eastern Europe, you know. No, I figure I put an accent
sheriff.
On it.
No, you say sheriff. Like, where'd you come with sheriff? Like,
I think I've been looking at Middle Eastern accommodations all day, you know, in anticipation of our UAE slash guitar trip.
I just wanted to chime in where, like all of a sudden Alex is like, sheriff.
language is a full contact sport, sir. You know how I feel about it.
I had the baby like sleeping in the other room, so I couldn't like turn on the volume. But I think it's sheriff. You know, I don't know. Somebody look it up and let these two Muppets know on this podcast. But I interrupted you, sir. What were you saying about us?
Hard to say because you interrupt the shit out of me. But all I was saying was that you talked about the dangerous element that sheriff was offering on the counterattack. In the 22nd minute, we saw that. They had a good chance. Edge of the box, but just wide. Just showing kind of, you know, United can't be switching off or turning off because they offer something on the other end of the pitch. 35th minute, Eriksen again, a terrific ball. Puts in from a free kick. Unfortunately, no one got a flick on it. Could have just taken a little bit of a header to put in the back of the net, but showing how dangerous United were. And then again, 37th minute, United break. They were really pushing for that second goal, trying to put the game away. Sancho with a really nice effort, but it's cleared off the line. Close again. Pushing all the way until the 39th minute, sir, when we got some more action. CR7 ready to make his impact in the 39th minute.
Bruno Fernandes, Dalot. And he's claiming a trip there from the fullback Patrick Kaposo. Dalot getting in front of Kaposo, and he was kicked. It's good movement from Dalot. He had the pace, he got there first. Another ground for Cristiano Ronaldo to score a goal at. And Ronaldo puts it straight down the middle with feeling. It's a good time for Manchester United to get that second goal in the game. Sheriff playing at pace.
Sheriff, sir. It is not Sharif. You know, I don't know where that came from, sir. But there's a lot of mispronunciations on this pod. If you're here for correct pronunciations, this is the wrong pod, especially from my side of the table. But what a penalty. You know, generous penalty. I take that all day. It's probably, you wouldn't get that in the EPL. It's a little soft, but hey, I'm a Manchester United fan. I'll take it. And then who else is going to stand up? The guy needs a goal. Nice goal. Well-taken penalty. CR7 off to the races. And I'm not going to not do the C celebration in Moldova. Come on.
I mean, let's go. CR7, just get him going. He's hungry. Feed the man. And I love the call on him stepping up to take the penalty. Cool. Right down the middle. What a player. The long sleeve, too. You got to respect the long sleeve. Ronaldo rocking the long sleeve. That's also one thing that he sticks to the old school, always rocking the long sleeve kit. It's just... Sir, long sleeve kit, Ronaldo, penalty. Come on. I'm a Muppet. Love it.
I'm a long sleeve kit kind of guy. You know, I've always liked the long sleeve. Him and Rooney were rocking it.
It's gone out of style.
It has gone out of style, and it shouldn't, because the long sleeve is class.
Rooney did the Under Armour short sleeve, right? He had the red Under Armour short sleeve. He switched it. And I like OG Ronaldo's, like from the old school long sleeve kit. I mean, come on.
With the rolled up sleeves. With the rolled up sleeves.
Rashford likes the long sleeve, if I'm not mistaken as well. But it has gone out of style. At one point, it was like only long sleeves kits. Let's get into the second half. Sub right off the jump, Casemiro for McTominay. Obviously, we're up 2-0, shut it down. Rest McTominay. 56th minute, Eriksen puts in another terrific ball, but Ronaldo can't get there. Felt like Ronaldo was just off the mark a little bit on these. He was getting service.
Yep.
But just like we saw with Real Sociedad, I don't know if it was a service or him. He was making the right runs. He's getting the service, but wasn't connecting. 69th minute, nice interplay from Sancho and Malicia. Ronaldo with a great chance, but blasted over. You love to see Sancho and Malicia getting some chemistry on the left.
100%. I think that's kind of a nice big takeaway from today as well, was just they were playing really good football at times, good interplay. They were putting their triangles together. The back two, especially the center back pairing, looked amazing. And that's what I mean by the back too. Like, Martinez and Varane just look so cool and composed under pressure. They're moving the ball around well. Malicia moved from one wing to the next. We'll talk about that in a second when DeLow came off. So that was just encouraging to see his level of versatility. And Eriksson, like 30, you know, if he could have 4 good years, we're going to have such a player because, dude, he's so composed on the ball. He unlocks Bruno. He unlocks our attack. He links play up between the defense, something we haven't had in a long time. It's just, it's exciting to see. Fun to watch.
Dude, his vision for passing, it's just like, it's like levels above the game that he's playing at. He's just like, I feel like he's only getting better too. You know, Paul Scholes-esque, right? Probably not as physical of a player, probably not as good defensively, but his range of pass is just unbelievable. 70th minute Shaw for DeLow. There are no meat pies in Moldova, so Shaw's ready to go. 82nd minute Elanga for Ronaldo. Ronaldo always angry about getting subbed. And then 90th minute double sub. Let Maguire have a go. Maguire, Garnacho for Martinez and Anthony. And that was it. 2-0, clean sheet away, Moldova. Sheriff, as
like
Alex says.
You like that? It adds a little. It adds a little something to it. A little spice. A little twang. I like it. Sharif. It's going to be Sharif. Just like real saucy dad. It's going to be Sharif.
Saucy dad, baby. I like that. I like coming up with different nicknames. Like the other team, I'm sure, is not Ammonia either. Like, yeah, but we're going to call him. He's got the random nicknames for Europa League, as is tradition. Stats-wise, United 8 shots to Sheriff's 11. On target, 4 to their 2. We had 68% of the ball. And we have more of the ball. This is what everyone's saying. United, when they have too much more of the ball, we're not going to be able to break a team down and win. And we did today. Checking on the group standings, Saucy Dad in first place. They got 6 points, 2 wins out of 2. They did beat Ammonia. And obviously, Manchester United in second with 3 points. Sheriff in third with 3 points. And Ammonia with 0. So, second in the group. It's going to be interesting playing Saucy Dad away.
I mean, that'll be the match. You also are going to have the trap game, right, which is anytime you play Ammonia because everybody's beating them, you have to keep that going. You also have to beat them. You can't be dropping points like we've seen in other campaigns in Europe over previous seasons. So, you know, this is going to be about rotation. Right now, you can play the first team, no problem, right? You can play Varane. You can play Eriksson. You can play Bruno. But when we have, I think we have 9-10 games in October, and that's when Europa League campaign is going to keep going. That will be the real test for this team when they have to play Maguire and Lindelof and Fred. You know, that's going to be more.
Yeah, there's a serious chance. Sir, sorry, I was getting a phone call about a dinner reservation tonight.
These are Maui problems. This guy, I was like, oh,
dinner. No, I sent it to voicemail, but it's definitely like one of those like.
I busted you back, Sharif.
Yeah, it's gonna be sir. Going to a nice dinner.
Attaboy, yep. Enjoy it, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it on the pod.
Bringing the 5-month-old and 3-year-old. We're gonna see how that goes. probably about as good as last season for Manchester United. Match reaction: Ronaldo scored his 699th goal of his club career with Sheriff Tiraspol as the 124th side he has netted against in all competitions. It was also the first time he scored in the Europa League. Special times ahead for Ronaldo in this competition. And obviously, sir, this is just Europa League. I mean, we're talking about practice pretty much here. We got a next match. It's against the big boys. It is the Derby, Manchester United versus Manchester City. How are you feeling about this game?
So I can't wait for this game, and I was just laughing because if we did play a lead this weekend, you would be on Hawaii time, and it would be 3 a.m. So I can only imagine what that would have looked like. So, hey, the queen did you a favor.
I'm glad I didn't have to even contemplate dealing with that. But, yes, my wife was like, are you seriously going to get up at 3 a.m? And I was on the fence.
On the fence, as you should be, because you're on vacation, sir, and it's just leads.
I haven't not watched a live game, and I cannot remember how long. So that's where I'm at with this team, and we've been horrible for a while, so the fact that I do that to myself is incredible.
How you feeling, sir, about City?
The sheriff game, it shows me this team's growing up. It's like we go away, we do the business professionally, get it done, on to the next one. Right now we got this 2 weeks. We should have had some games. We didn't have them, but I feel like the team is in a really good spot. The issue with this team is the rotation, right? So there's always like levels to the Premier League, And, you know, you can see Fergie dealing with it in his time. When you're a really good team and you're playing a lot of competitions, which ones do you prioritize? How do you deal? Against shitty, I bet you we play well. It's going to be the remaining games in October where there's like 9 games in a month. And we have Europa League and we have to rotate heavy. That we're going to not look good, right? So Ten Hag is going to just basically say, F Europa League. I have to go for the league. And I hope it's clear in how he deals with it, because ultimately, we saw how he played against Saucy Dad when we had to rotate and we looked bad. So I imagine you're going to see us play well in the league, play bad in Europa League. And hopefully Ten Hag, he's learned on the job. So he's got to know who he can pull up from like the under 21s to get in this team, and like Iqbal on the bench. I think that's great. Like that type of mentality, next man up, let's see who can do it to try to get something out. Worst case scenario, we finish third, we go to conference. That to me can't happen, you know, but there's a really good chance it could be with this October month. So with City, I think we're going to in for a match. The only downside against City is you're going to see like Haaland jumping for a header, like dragging his nuts on like Martinez's head and like dunking it in the net. Like that, it could go like that and be like 4-1, you know?
Yeah, like there's no, like we could play well and still get the shit kicked out of us by City.
Like, no, like Haaland jumping over, like, you know, the highlight reels in the NBA where the guy like score that goal? He dunks on the net and he hangs there and he like, you know, drags his nuts on the other guy's head. That's going to be like Haaland over Martinez. You know, it could happen.
At least once, like you would think.
It's like the footballing gods, like the headlines coming out of the game just seem to be like 5'9" defender.
Man against boys. Like, it seems like that. You know, all the rags are yellow. Yeah. Like we're going to lose most likely. But you never know. Given Saturday or Sunday in football, we certainly have a chance. They're riding
that's
high.
Worst case scenario. Best case scenario, we beat them because you know we're confident at the moment. We show up in big spots, right? So I think it's probably going to just be like a close 2-1 game. I think we're going to play better than people think. I think City's going to play worse than people think. Because again, like City's been all over the board with like mediocre teams, and we're going to give them a game. Obviously, it's away, but it is in Manchester, and it's going to be. I'm very excited for this match. This will tell us a lot about this team, and sir, anything's possible.
Certainly is. We know all about that. This is Manchester United. This is the team of 99. Where anything truly is possible. It's going to be a big month for United, like you said, playing Spurs, playing Chelsea. They're not the Chelsea of old, but they're still Chelsea. And then, actually, those first two Europa League games in the month are against Ammonia FC back-to-back. Like I said, it's a trap game, but you should have an opportunity to rest players. We've got Everton in the mix. We got Newcastle in the mix. There's a lot of teams, a lot of tough teams coming up next month. Big challenge, but you know what? It also gives an opportunity to get certain players back from injury, right? Rashford going down after his hot start. That's not what you want to see, but he has a chance now. Obviously not called up by the numpty Southgate. It's a win for us. It's a win. It's great for us. And Martial come back from injury. Hopefully he'll feature, but you know, we've seen that movie before.
Not for the English contingent.
Yeah, nothing. Well, who got called up? We'll talk about it in a second when we go to the news, sir, but it's your...
Yeah, no. I know. Let's go.
Ready for some news?
United in the news. All right, first article here. It's heating up. There's more news about the Glazer takeover here. Sir Jim Ratcliffe wants to bring in PSG chief Luis Campos to Manchester United if his takeover bid is successful. With the British billionaire already making plans after revealing he's interested in buying out the Glazers at Old Trafford. This is interesting, right? You have Todd Bowley running his mouth, which we'll get to. And then we have Sergio Ratcliffe circling here, thinking about who he would put in place to run this team. Please tell me this is true. That's all I got to say about Ratcliffe. Like, he seems like the best buyer versus, like, you know, Dubai Sovereign Wealth Fund or... you know, insert Tesla CEO here. I think Ratcliffe is the guy to do it. He has experience in sport with F1, Manchester United fan. He understands what this club means to Manchester. Also, I think there's a benefit in him being English born and just, you know, growing up with this club.
I think so too. You know, rich guy's a rich guy to some extent, right? I mean, you're already seeing. We'll talk about Boley in a second. He has some comparisons to Glazers just in terms of the approach. But you having someone that kind of respects the English game, the pyramid, you know, they actually like enjoy the relegation promotion thing and see how beautiful that is for the sport, because it truly is. And that's why the league is so exciting. And that's why football is so exciting. What do you think about this, sir? It's been kind of quiet, you know, as it was always going to be with a, you know, a type of takeover bid being rumored around. The fact that there's a name being circulated, that could just be nothing. That could be Campos smoke. I mean, he did just recently join PSG after they ousted their last DOF. So either way, he would be the man. I would have to agree with you, right? Beats the names that have been touted in the Middle East. It beats probably even like an American private equity fund, because Jim is a fan. I think he's got a long-term vision for the club. I think he respects what Manchester United represents, both to the fans and to the country as a whole and to the greater public, you know, people like ourselves who are Americans and love the club. And also, I think he's got like the temperament and vision to take it to the next place, because there's money to be spent. You know, the money that we've even spent, if it was spent smartly, we'd be in a much better position over the last 10 years than where we are today. And I just think it takes someone with a little bit more craft, a little bit more intelligence about like how to run any kind of organization, be it a football club or a steel company or a private equity company. You know, Jim, I would take him. I would take him in a second. I would certainly take Luis Campos as well. So we'll see, sir. This is probably the most important news going on at the moment.
The good news is like the slow percolation about these rumors. Like you're hearing it from the buy side, like Dubai's interested, that's coming from Ben Ratcliffe interested, that's coming from him. So that could make it, you know, more legitimate that you have multiple parties potentially leaking out information about bids. That means there could be a process that could, there could be lawyers listening to offers. So obviously it's tight-lipped because they are a public company, but this is interesting that it keeps coming out. So, I mean, the biggest win we could get all year would be, I mean, the last 20 years, getting the Glazers out of this club. Next bit of news from the Mail. The big, shocking England team news. Obviously, we're U.S. men's national team fans till we die here on this podcast, being the American Red Devils. But the England news impacts Manchester United because, unfortunately, there are no Americans playing for Manchester United. Tons of English players. Maguire makes the team. And obviously, this isn't the World Cup team, but this is the last bit of fixtures before the World Cup. So, you know, I think it's 28-man or 30-man roster. The coach can bring in as many players as he wants, and he has to cut it down. So this is most likely the team that's going to be whittled down to the final squad going to Qatar, and Maguire is a part of it. Unbelievable. Sancho isn't. Rashford isn't. And everyone's, like, freaking out. And it's just like, have you seen Gareth Southgate? You seen this guy? I mean, like, this guy is just going to bottle – all you got to know is that Maguire's the worst defender. He's finished, and he's picking him to go to the World Cup. That's all you got to know. That's all you need to know about Gareth Southgate. He's going to let Maguire sink the ship, and he wants him to. Arguably, England should have probably been in two finals. They were in one, and they arguably should have won one major European trophy, and I would blame Southgate on it because he had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer leprechaun suit vibes in the final. By the way, it's in England. And he went for the tie, and he put in people who didn't play to take the penalties. I mean, you couldn't do more to try to blow it than he did. And this is the mentality he brings to England. And sorry to any England fans that rate Southgate, but there's a ceiling on Southgate. And you're seeing it. Because was he a Middlesbrough manager before this?
That's right. Or he was a woman. He went Middlesbrough, then the women's team, I think. Then the youth England. Yeah. And here's the thing, sir. Maguire ain't going to sink their campaign, right? Like you said, he ain't the culprit. As much as we want to put it on Slabhead, it's Gareth Southgate, bro. Like, who put in 119th, 120-minute subs of players that hadn't even kicked the ball to kick penalties? Also, they're like some of the youngest players in the squad. He's not a good, I'll go farther than, he's not a good manager. He's an average manager, but it's their manager. We have an, hold on a second. I'm a U.S. national fan, U.S. men's national fan. We have a bad manager. He's also a bad manager. So we could call it either way. I could say the England's
Hold on.
He is a bad. Our manager's also bad.
Okay, wait. Alex doesn't like our manager, but the whole point is when you put your manager in like a tie game in a final going extra time and you see what they're made of, just like you saw Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you saw what he was made of when it's Villarreal, Europa League final, and he's literally playing for the draw. And it's like, that's, you're no good. Like, you're the better team. You got to go for the win. You got to win in extra time always, right? So Burkhalter hasn't been in that situation. And when he is in that situation, you can judge him. But Southgate has been in that, and you saw it. It didn't go well, right? Every decision he made, deer in the headlights on the touchline in a big final, that you, the card has been turned over. You know what he is. Like, we knew Ole was, I told you after that game, like, he gone. Like, it's a matter of time, because you can't come back from that. You are who you are.
Bro, I saw it with my own
in
eyes.
In that situation.
I watched the whole 120 minutes. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to back down from my position. Both of these teams, England and the United States, they're going to be the same group.
Hold on a second, let me finish
my point, and then you can interrupt me. They both have squads that are better than the manager. That's all I'm going to say. We can leave it at that. Like, for both England and the U.S., they both have squads that are more well-rounded, more dangerous, and just better than their manager is, and that's my point there. And I don't need to make it like he hasn't gotten there, he hasn't gotten to a final, but like, Burkhalter doesn't give me any confidence they'll even get to a final.
Okay, here's the deal. Burkhalter and Southgate, their teams are going to play.
They are.
And England's got the better team.
They do.
And we'll see how that goes. If Burkhalter draws or wins, then you got to give him some sort of credit. I didn't like the World Cup qualifying. I don't think he got the best out of the team. I don't think he's bringing in all the players. But if he gets results and gets us in the knockout stage, then the results are undeniable at a certain point.
How fun is that game going to be? That's the Friday we fly to the Middle East, isn't it?
Yeah, USA England's going to be unbelievable. That's going to be a great game.
But this is actually good. This is good, sir. Right? I didn't mean to interrupt you now, so apologies for that. But like, the players that actually aren't getting minutes are getting minutes, and the players who are getting minutes with United are not. So in some ways, like, maybe Harry Maguire will find some form, which obviously...
No, I hope Harry Maguire defends against our front line, against USA. against USA. That'd be great. Next in the news here, Chelsea owner Todd Boehly calls for a Premier League All-Star game. Jurgen Klopp laughs at him. Everyone's laughing at Todd Boehly here. What do you make of this one, the All-Star game?
You know, this is funny. We were tweeting about it, texting about it, sir. This is like a fatter, smarter Glazer. That's what I said, and I'll stand by that. Because, like, the only difference is he's getting right in it. He's, like, putting his chin out and getting really involved and, like, interviewing and making his opinions known, whereas, like, the Glazers just, like, they never talk to the press. They haven't talked to the press in 19 years. So they just, like, sit on the outside looking in, whereas he wants to be the face of this new Chelsea side and just throw his opinions out there. So... you know, he's got big opinions. I think the North-South game is kind of hilarious. Like, unless you were doing it in the capacity of one of those stupid giveaway cups in the U.S. or in Southeast Asia that they do in the summer, where they're just like, well, Liverpool and United and AC Milan are playing anyway. We'll just mix the teams up and just have them play against each other. We have enough fixtures in football. There's probably too many fixtures, right? Like, Champions League, they're playing more games. Conference League, right? World Cup is going to have more games in the next 10 years. Everything is squeezing out more games, more games, more games. So, obviously, a non-competitive North-South game, even though it would be a money grab, it's probably the last thing European football needs. But give me your thoughts.
Well, I listened to the whole interview with him, and I think he said some interesting stuff, because he talked about, he addressed, like, you're talking about an owner of a team addressing serious questions, right? The Glazers never on camera, never answer anything.
Totally.
So credit to him for A, buying the team. B, what he was talking about is that he wanted a coach that would collaborate with them, right? He's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to hire the best people in the world, and I want them to collaborate. And he was saying the U21s and the first team aren't talking. So, like, the best prospect in the U21s isn't known by the first team. They're not sharing data. They're not sharing information. So for him, it was about, like, collaboration. I thought that was very interesting. You could tell Tuchel is just like a my way or the highway type of guy. That was an interesting angle on it. And then obviously getting to financing the football pyramid, I think, was really ultimately the question about this. Is like, there's always that, how do we finance the football pyramid? How do we raise money? And so he kind of alluded to, well, hey, we did an MLB All-Star game and we raised $200 million, and it's really a nothing burger. It's like a home run derby and, like, some guys kind of playing baseball. It's not really that serious of a game, right? It's just more for entertainment purposes. Huge cash cow. I would much prefer an All-Star game than a Super League. You know what I'm saying? So the idea of it, everyone in Europe was like, everyone in England just like laughed at him, made fun of him, yada, yada, yada. But I do think there are good things from American sports that can be taken to European sports. And there are great things about European sports that can be taken to American sports. And to think that anyone does it 100% right, is that's what I have issue with, is everyone's rejecting it. Because a North-South EPL All-Star game would be a riot. And if they did like a skills competition for like who can sprint the fastest, who can kick the longest free kick, or who's the goalie that, you know, like all these cool skills or whatever. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Like Ronaldo against, you know, doing free kick contests. You had to hit the targets or whatever. Like that'd be really, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's light. It's enjoyable. Like the home run derby, just like get all the All-Stars out there. Everyone have fun. It's like a spectacle, and I know that Europeans haven't had that, so they maybe can't enjoy it. But there are good things about All-Star games. There are bad things about All-Star games, like the NFL, Pro Bowl. You don't need it. You can't really play NFL All-Star game because you just have to like hit people, and that's not really, you know, like soccer could do it.
You can't half speed that. You can't half speed.
It'd be like a testimonial type of match, a testimonial match that raises money for the footballing pyramid in England and supports the lower divisions, like have a real feel good factor, provide the fans with some entertainment. You know, I just think that the way that everyone like immediately like rejected it, even though I don't like Chelsea and I'm not a Todd Boehly fan, I kind of thought that was a little much.
Well, you got to be able to read the room, and that's a bold take. And at the end of the day, it's like there's a distinction that has to be made between European soccer and every sport that exists in the United States of America, and that is only European soccer goes on for 10 months of the year, and the others do not. Not a single sport in USA does. So, like,
baseball's close.
No, it's not close because they have at least 6 months off.
But it's I
but they're like walking around, baseball. Bro. I went to a baseball game yesterday. And they're barely running.
It's baseball.
It's baseball.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing playing baseball is intense.
I just think that's it. It's like there's no time. There's already too many matches. And I do agree, like, you could maybe raise money. Well, you could look at the TV rights because there's probably plenty of money to go around and EPL teams are making loads of cash. But, from a Muppet standpoint, if there were fewer games anyway and less, like, replays in the FA Cup second round and Carabao Cup, it would be a laugh to see. But it's just, like, where do you stick it? Because, dude, we're doing a Winter World Cup. And there are countries bidding for another Winter World Cup in only 8 short years. So it's like they're never going to lower the games and matches. So this could actually happen. And, you know, eventually they're going to be playing games like internationally, sir. They're going to be playing like Spurs versus West Ham in Newark, right? Like that's coming.
Yeah, but they should. I think they should do that. I think that should be coming, you know, just like the NFL does it in England. And it's been a success, you know, like. There's a global audience for the English Premier League, and I do think it probably 20 years in the future, you're going to be seeing a lot of games being played. Like, there's going to be the EPL games played in Asia. There's going to be EPL games played in the United States.
100%.
Other parts of Europe. Like, 100% that is coming. But it's you also need to understand that change is good. The Premier League was change. Like, the way we got to the league that we know and love, it was change. And obviously, Super League, bad, but, like, other changes can be good. And, you know, All-Star game, I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying it's worth a thought if we're trying to raise money for the footballing pyramid. Let's jump into the fan questions here. At Glazers Out FC, love the handle. Quote, that was a Thursday night football match in Moldova, if I've ever seen it. Would have liked to see a couple more goals overall, though a win is a win. And the Lincoln play looked good. At Jamal Mota, sirs, the Hans and Franz Cup finally gets the C. Pretty simple and boring game. Maguire is now an 89th minute sub. not excited for this long break, but we have a while we wait. Let's push the Glazers out. I absolutely love that one. At Fox United, quote, Sancho showing Southgate why he has no idea what he's doing. But again, game after game, Eriksen proving to be the best player on the pitch. Goes about it silently. But has huge impact. God, good needed win far from home. You know, speak softly, carry a big stick, sir. That is Christian Eriksen in a nutshell.
He's looked like it all season. He's been such a player. Unlocking the back four, unlocking Bruno Fernandes, unlocking the front three, and he's just getting started. Like I think he's getting better as the games go on. I think the other players around him are getting better. So it's a bummer. We have no football for over 2 weeks, but we got a lot of football in October. It gets an opportunity for some rested legs. Hopefully none of the players that have been contributing week in, week out in this Ten Hag side are injured, right? Because, like, we got some big-name players. Ron, I imagine, is going on international duty with France. That's the one that scares me the most.
You're really worried about Ron.
As we should be.
Are you trying to jinx him?
No, of course not, but he's been so good. He was so good today. He was class. He was pulling the strings. He looked so in control. He has all season, but, like, hey.
He ain't going to make it all season. No, he ain't. Break it to you.
I am aware.
Yeah. Well, we can use another center back. Let's go. Look, sir, that is it. That's the podcast. I appreciate everyone listening to this podcast. Please like, subscribe, everything you can, because we're a small-time operation. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We're close to getting to 100. Help us out. We're almost at 400 episodes as well. I think this is 398. We can't believe we've been doing this for 5 years so far. Also, check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com and AmericaRedDevils.store. Grab a scarf, grab a shirt. Everything you buy helps support this small-time operation. Sir, you got the top 10 downloads the last 7 days?
You know it. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Visalia, California. Alpharetta, Georgia. Middleton, OH, Ohio. Phoenix, Arizona. Las Vegas, Nevada. London, UK. Enjoy that queue to see the Queen. Beaverton, Oregon. Bellingham, Washington. New York, New York. And Härnösand, Sweden. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. We're not going anywhere, sir. We got City preview coming up. We got international break. We got USA on the road. What, I don't know. Is it National Leagues? I don't even know what it is, but it's international break coming up around the corner. This guy's on vacation, sir. I hope you're having a great one.
International break. You know, I only take vacation during international break. For the pod schedule, housekeeping, we'll get you a pod probably next Thursday or Friday, catching up on international break, and then we'll get you a shitty preview the following week. So the America Devils, we never sleep. We will be getting you a pod probably next Thursday or Friday, and then the following week to break down the shitty match. Cannot wait. That's going to be a huge derby. It's going to be a big one. I think we can win it. I'm feeling confident.
I like that confidence. Let's carry it into international break. Whew. Big games coming in thick and fast in October. Can't wait, sir.
All right, you got a song to take us out?
You know it. We're kicking it old school, kicking it blue. Hope everybody enjoys their week, enjoys the weekend. We'll talk to you soon. We fall.